Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gee, I enjoyed the service so much when there's a move of God. I don't know about you guys, but I really felt the presence of God here this morning, you know. And He's still here. He's still here. Praise God. Praise God, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the wonderful, wonderful salvation that You've given us. Father, I'm overwhelmed at how You made Yourself so available to mankind, especially motivated by Your love. Boy, Father, where would we be if we didn't have Your wonderful love? But because we have it, we have a bright future, every one of us. And so, Father, Your love is holding everything together. And today, as I share Your word a little bit with them, I pray that it will grab hold of their hearts and encourage and strengthen them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, I don't know whether I should say this or not. I thank God I wasn't raised in religion. And what I mean by that is raised in a form of God is perfect and everybody else needs to match up with God or you'll go to hell. I've experienced some of that with churches and the tragedies that we find in life and how the church had turned and said that it was God pouring His wrath out upon sin. And the last real filling of that we had was with that Katrina incident where all those people were killed from that tremendous flood and how that a rainbow was set in the sky afterwards. They've got pictures of it. And I was just looking at one the other day and how God, the whole essence of the message was how God hates sin. And then He set His rainbow to let us know that when He brings judgment, we better get out of the way. And so they attributed that whole thing to God. So I went over into Genesis chapter 8 and I looked at where the rainbows came from. And God set a rainbow in the sky to let mankind know that He would never, never ever again bring judgment on mankind with water.
Right.
So we better watch how we interpret God.
Amen.
And when Victor got up here and by the Spirit had acclimated the fact of the love of the Father, I'm seeing it more and more. I don't know how you see it, but I'm seeing more and more to really interpret God. You have to interpret Him through what He is, and that is love. Now, we've been studying this concept of being saved and salvation. And until just recently, I had not seen the difference between the two. And then when it came alive to me that there was a difference, I was overwhelmed at what I had discovered, that salvation really is in the hands of the people that have received Christ, where being saved is everyone's hope, for everyone to be saved. But salvation is different. Salvation is directed again towards protection, prosperity, deliverance. Whenever that word salvation is used in Scripture, and when I begin to see it, I said, how have we missed it? Well, we've missed it even in our translations. They put being saved and salvation on the same level. And then when I saw that in the Old Testament, they lifted that serpent up on a pole, and whoever looked at it would not die because of the serpents that were going around and biting everybody. And when you look in the Old Testament, and I'm just going to be very bold and very, very direct about this, but if you as a minister only see God through the Old Testament, then you're doing yourself a disservice about God manifesting himself through the person of Jesus. Thank God that we have the Old Testament, but thank God we have the New Testament now to balance it out. Because you get in the Old Testament and you'd seem like everything that you read is God has a hate for sin. And boy, if you miss it with God, you were cursed. And so in the Old Testament, if that's all that you know, then you need to realize that the church has done more to make God unrelatable, as though he only supports his agenda with no consideration for man's position. Most of this concept comes out of the Old Testament. God is very relatable today. He relates to everyone, but just not everyone knows him or knows about him. But in the Old Testament, salvation was from God, and it was only known to come by God for man's obedience to a law. And he had to give it as a teaching example. It was a tutor for mankind, if you keep the law. And all this God wanted man to do is get a revelation. How can he keep that law? God wanted to let him know the impossibility of helping themselves, because they had a nature within them that no man could settle the issue of what it meant to be saved. And so in the Old Testament, no one was saved, but they partook of salvation. Why? Because God gave it. But did you know that backsliding is not a New Testament word? Did you guys know that? It's an Old Testament word. And God said many times, if you backslide, many things can happen to you because you no longer have my salvation. And so we've used this word salvation so promiscuously, we hadn't realized the full impact of what it means. Today, I want to boldly say, because of the prophecies and the things that went forth, I want to boldly say, salvation has been given to mankind because the love that God has for humanity. Mankind did not hold that place of salvation in the Old Testament. Only the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God was their salvation. In the New Testament, we're responsible for our own salvation. Not God. That's why we do not say, faith speaks this way, I'll ascend into heaven. That is, bring Christ down from above. Or I will see to it that he will reappear and assist me. That is, bring him up from the dead. Boy, how many times my mind has went there in situations in my life. And I begin to realize that God so thought of us through the redemptive work of Christ. So thought of us through the redemptive work of Christ. He took the salvation that he reserved for himself in the Old Testament and turned around and gave it to the church. Now it's up to us to activate it. If we don't activate it, it don't get activated. Why? Because God already done everything that he can possibly do to see to it that when you inherited salvation, its backing was with him. He backs your salvation. But do you have the power to reach out and use it? When you get salvation, you've got to realize you've got God's best. For your deliverance, for your protection, for your healing, even from sickness and disease. But are you in the condition to let God assist you in your salvation? First Peter chapter 1. We'll start with verse 10. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about. And I'm reading out of the New Living Testament. More about when they prophesied about the gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when He told them in advance about Christ's suffering and His great glory afterwards. They were told that their message were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You don't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time as foreigners in the land. Wow. Do we really grasp what we have available to us? You see, people, I never understood what it meant to intercede from somebody. I used to say, well, if God knows what we have need of before we ask, why do we have to intercede for something? You know, it confused me. But I began to realize that I was so self-centered about myself, I didn't realize that not everyone had grown to the fullness of their salvation. And if they hadn't grown to the fullness of their salvation, who's going to stand in the gap for them? And it dawned on me, intercession means to stand in the gap. For who? For those who have not grown into the fullness of their salvation. And I begin to realize that in Scripture, there were proper places where God made provision for someone who is a baby in the Lord that doesn't understand their salvation, that somebody else can stand in the gap for them and stand in the very place that they stand in and pray through the victory that they need for their salvation. Glory to God. Now I begin to understand that's the purpose of intercession. Then I begin to understand just before Dad Hagen passed away, he talked continually about other believers supplicating for other believers. And he said supplication is a prayer for other believers. And it began to dawn on me, that's why I supplicate for other believers. Because they don't know how to pray for themselves. They don't know how to exercise their deliverance. They don't know how to get free from sickness and disease. God has made a place for all of us in our salvation that no one should be limited to the capabilities of what their salvation can bring them. Just before I went on vacation, just beside herself, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. My son is losing his mind. He's 32 years old, and I knew her son. And raised in a godly home. And I sat and listened to her. And she had just left, but their son came out of it. He was losing his mind. Nothing was working, and they got a hold of some scriptures and began to exercise their authority on the behalf of their son. And said, you got to get your scriptures out. And you got to stand in that place where they can't. You got to start praying for them. And our son came out of it. And your son can come out of it. And I said, that's what they told you. And they said, yeah. And I said, are you doing it? And she says, well, Pastor, I says, listen to me. You cannot rely upon the problem to be answered apart from the salvation that God has provided for you. You've got to get those scriptures out and do what they told you to do. I says, and she says, well, do I have the authority to do that? You know, he's 32. I says, yes, you do. That's your boy. Yeah, but he's 30. Listen, that's your boy. Yeah, but he's out of my house now. He's no longer under. He's under your authority as long as. I said, how am I going to intercede for another brother or sister who don't even never been a part of my household? And yet I can stand in the gap for them and deliver. She said, oh, Pastor, you're starting to make me happy. I said, you ought to be very happy. You have strength. You have power. You have position. You can pray for him and get him free. That's what salvation has provided for us. A position where we can stand in the place for somebody that's no any better and not be limited. Though I'm bound, I'm free. Paul said it time and again. It don't matter what situation I'm in. I've learned that I can still be under the power of the living Christ. Hallelujah. Talk about the love of God. Everything that you and I are asked to do is because of the love of God. I thank God I'm not called to retire. There's something about the retiring mind that just kicks back and is not forceful. I've done my duty in life. I might as well retire. Well, it depends on what kingdom you're working in. Nothing against retirees. Don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you what. I can retire in the natural. But that's not my life now. My life is what's involved in my responsibility for the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you what, we got a world that we're in that's called fallen world. This is a shakable kingdom. And there's going to come some shaking. We don't have to be concerned about that. Why? We're of a kingdom that is not able to be shaken. I liked what Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven has suffered violence against forceful men. But until John the Baptist, now it's reversed. See, I never saw that before. What Jesus meant, now forceful men can seize that kingdom. And do what? Bring those kingdoms of darkness down through the power of inherited salvation that you and I possess that was not given in the Old Testament. That's why in the Old Testament backsliding was horrible. Because God said time and again, stay with me, stay consistent, or you have no protection. Well, today, why has the church fallen prey to that same place? We're not like the Old Testament believers. We have a place of strength. We have Jesus' name. We have God's love. We have everything that we need. Why are we putting up with what we're putting up with? It's time you put your foot down and say enough is enough. Glory to God. Boy, I'll tell you what, the other morning I was reading on this and meditating over it, and I started weeping, and I said, God, I thank you that my grandchildren, my family, my loved ones, I don't have to live in fear anymore. You can put them on my heart and I'll pray through to them. Because I can stand in where they're not standing in. I got so mad at my daughter because of all this moving this weekend and everything. And I said, God, it's all because of the choices they make. And now I got to go and fill in all their choices that they made. God said, well, you poor little thing. He said, who would I call on if it wasn't for you to help them? I said, but you don't understand. God says, what don't I understand? God knows mankind. But you know what God does, knowing mankind? He said, because I know mankind, I can reach out to them because I love them. How are you going to shut down God's love? Hey? How are you going to do that? And God says, when they lack, you can make up for it. Yeah, but you don't understand. I understand exactly where they're at. I understand the position I've given you, and they need your help. Amen. Period, over and out. Oh my gosh. Why are you doing that to me, Lord? Why am I responsible for somebody else? He says, then why was I responsible for the whole world? Because he loves the whole world. That he gave his son. He gave me this little statement this morning. You don't mind me sharing it? You shared it in Sunday school, right? I like this. The thing promised, a gift graciously given. Not a pledge secured by negotiation. You and I have inherited salvation. And listen, the only negotiating that you got to deal with is yourself. You got to shut yourself down. Why? God settled your salvation. God made it clear what he has given you. And if you don't activate it, you will not succeed. God didn't leave it upon you to backslide for him to cover you. He tried that with the nation of Israel. No, he said, now it's going to come down to each and every individual person in the entire world. That if somebody is not covering them because they backslid, you can cover their backsliding. That's why it's an Old Testament thing, not a New Testament. Because in the New Testament, we've got people that'll deal with you in prayer. If you got out of place with God, if you got complacent, if you got into a place where you're upset at somebody, don't go to God and ask God to do something with them. You go to God in prayer for them. That's a little different. Now they have a place. In their backsliding, they have a place where they can still be covered because you're not backslid. That isn't fair. Natural mind? No. Because the natural mind incurs indebtedness. But with the love of God, there is no debt. It's all paid for. Amen. How far did Jesus pay for? He paid for it for everybody. Amen. Even those that are irresponsible. He covered them. Jesus showed up on the hillside one day and said, pray for your enemies. What? Hey, pray for those that despitefully use you. What? Nobody heard that before. Why? Because the love of God isn't where man's at. The love of God is not where man's at. The love of God has no price on it. The love of God, translated, sacrifice. That's how you experience the love of God. What will it cost you? That's how you'll know the love of God's working you. What will it cost you? Will it cost you to forgive somebody? Will it cost you to let somebody go that might owe you? What is it going to cost you? It's going to cost you the love of God. Now, I wrestled with this for a long time, and I'll be closing after this. But I think a lot of it has to research our hearts and how we've thought about mankind and people and how important the kingdom of God is. And for us to not be slacking on considering so great of a salvation that we've inherited. I'm saved. Good for you. Do you know how to activate your salvation? Oh, well, being saved and salvation is the same. No, they're not. One is God's responsibility. The other is yours. You're responsible for your salvation. And that has never been preached before. I've never heard that before until the Holy Ghost showed it to me. No, mankind is responsible for their salvation. God gave it when you got saved. You don't inherit being saved. You are saved. Why? You received Him. Therefore, you get salvation. It's put in your hands. Well, what happens if I don't exercise it? God's got somebody else praying for you. What? Somebody said, boy, I don't know how we came out of this one, but we just said, God help us, and all of a sudden we got out of it. And they didn't have a testimony of exercising their salvation at all. And then, by and by, just in conversation with people, I find out that God laid them on their heart, and they prayed their salvation through. Glory to God, they got free because of somebody else praying for them? Yep. Yep. Well, I know why. God cannot be your salvation now. God is not your salvation. He gave it to you. You're your salvation. It's you. Well, what happens if I don't exercise it? Well, you better hope that God's got an intercessor on your behalf. You know, there's something interesting out of the Old Testament. We can learn something by them. There's one place that said by this person's perpetual backsliding, God could no longer offer them salvation. Did you know that God will work with people and work with them? But if you have a continuing to backslide and get out of place with God, eventually it will catch up to you. Because you're not going to find that many people that are conditioned in intercession. This dear, wonderful pastor's wife, she was crying to me. She said, Pastor Jan, you have no idea what you're doing for me. You're helping me. You're giving me hope. And I said, yeah, because you can stand in for your boy. You can get him free. And I said, I want the testimony back. I want you to get your scriptures out, get with your husband. You quit talking about what he's gone through. You quit talking about the problems that he's been facing. And you start attacking those spiritual warfares. And I took her over to Ephesians chapter 6. And I told her, yeah, put on the whole armor of God and everything. And we've been taught as a church that Ephesians 6 belongs to everybody. All of us as believers, we can pray that warfare, hand-to-hand combat. And I got news for you. It's very interesting. In the Greek, it's very interesting. In the Greek, it gives you this little cross sign. Those of you that might know it, they give you a little cross sign. And when you see that little cross sign, it means that there's no English words that can be put to the Greek meaning here. It has to work itself out by the text. Well, I want to share something with you. The book of Ephesians was not written to the common laity. Did you know that? Did you know that every one of us in this building might not qualify to be putting on the whole armor of God? You want to know why? Because the adversary has got us good. So, where does our hope lie when the adversary has stuck us with all these arrows? What do we do? Thank God he's got believers that can pray for him. Thank God for the praying believers. And you know, the sad testimony, I was thinking about this when I was on vacation. The sad testimony is, it's always older people who are conditioned for prayer and not the younger or middle-aged. Why is that? We get so old, we don't got nothing else to do except pray. Are we so young in our walk as a person in this life that it doesn't matter who we touch? We're not old enough yet to go into intercession. Would intercession have to have an age limit on it?
You have to be 71 years old to really do some interceding.
Really? Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, and I confronted some of my parishioners on this, and I went to verse 10 here, and I asked them about this verse because they were knowledgeable in the language, and they said, well, we can't put a meaning to what he's trying to say there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And I told this, I said, you're wrestling with your flesh and blood. You got to stop it. She said, I never saw it like that. And I showed her verse 10 here. And I said, you know what it says in the Greek here? It says, and for the rest of you, be strong. This word means empowerment in the Lord and in the kratos of his iskus. And this is not referring to a lay person sitting in a pew. It's referring to somebody that Paul turned to after he tells you about the whole church being put together and what it should be hoping for and everything. And he turned, it's like in the Greek, he turned to another set of people and he says, now listen to you guys, listen to me. I'm turning to you and this is what you're going to do. He says, you're going to put on the whole armor of God. And you're going to be in the power, ruling power of his strength. It means someone who has matured into their salvation, who has the ability to go and place themselves in a place of prayer and supplication, because we find that at the end of chapter 6 here, praying with all kinds of prayer. And he wasn't talking about your normal layperson. He was talking about someone who had been there before and knew what to do. And he turned and said, now that I've given you this instruction, I'm turning to you that are educated in how to stand in the gap and how to do warfare against principalities and powers. Those of you that know your salvation, you've grown into it. Now you can do something for them. And I'm going to tell you, when you look at this in the Greek, you are overwhelmed at the place that he tells them they hold for praying for people. Right away he says, put on the whole armor of God. That's not talking about just a lay person. You know, when you're in a war, you have weapons. The guy that gets shot, someone that's hurt. The guy that gets shot, someone that gets killed. And so I'm sitting here and I question that my whole time. I questioned it even above my mentors. And I said, I believe that he's talking about somebody that's seasoned in hand-to-hand combat with our adversary. Just like I told this dear pastor's wife. I said, you know what he's doing? He's shooting flaming arrows. She says, well, what does that mean? I mean, he's at you. He's after you. Not only after your son, he's after you. He's using a flaming arrow. You know what a flaming arrow is? It meant he couldn't hit you personally, but if he gets over into the vicinity, he'll burn everything down around you and it'll get to you. And he's going for your son to get to you. And you got to stop them. You got to quench every one of them fiery arrows. Well, what do you do for yourself? Or is it for your loved one that you love? Your grandchildren, your family, your brothers and sisters? Do they mean something to us? Is the love of God driving us to protect them? I don't know. It depends on where you're at. He goes on to say here, for we do not wrestle, struggle, hand to hand, combat against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power. I guarantee you ain't hand to hand with that. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up. And this is a very interesting word. It means to take now to you like you had previously done. That's that word, to take up. So he's telling them now, the rest of you, that you know what to do. We're going to wrestle against these spiritual wickedness that's coming against these brothers and sisters. So, you see, take up to you now. What's he telling to you? Take up what you have previously done before. Take up to what I previously done before what? Watch this. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, having brought everything to an ultimate conclusion of victory, remain standing in it. He's telling them what to do that they've previously done. Now, why am I even sharing this with you? Because we serve a great salvation. We don't let it slide by us. I'm going to tell you why. You can neglect your salvation so much that people can sin right before your face and you won't even recognize it. That's how far out from God you can get. You can be overtaken and deceived by the enemy if you don't stay where God is. And he tells them, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, having put on the... This is not somebody that's getting beat up all the time. This is talking about people who are conditioned to do hand-to-hand combat. And I got news for you. Even sitting in this room today, you've got loved ones, you've got children, you've got friends that need your victory in your salvation. You got to do something about it. He goes on to say, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of, have a firm fitting as to the walk of your spirit. Have a firm place that you've, now, firm. You know what he'll do? He'll run from you. Because it says resist the devil, he'll flee. He'll run from you, but he'll sit there and shoot that arrow. But guess what? You take the shield of faith for your loved ones. Bling! 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 Why? Because they take the whole armor of God and it covers your mind. We talked about it being shoes and all that. But listen, what it is, it's all mind things. And he's not referring to somebody to stand in the gap for somebody that doesn't have their mind in control. No, this is a person who has his mind armored up for the warfare. Sue and I, we have perfect kids. So they'll never make mistakes, will they, Sue? No. But I'll tell you, we'll make up the hedge for them. So we don't have to walk in fear. Somebody said, well, what if it doesn't work? I don't go with what if it doesn't work, because my salvation is not predicated on what if it doesn't work. My salvation was predicated on what Jesus already had done for me, for my children. Well, do you believe once saved, always saved? I believe that no one should be left behind. I don't want to get on them religious kicks, you know, once saved. I don't want to get on that. Get into the program. Get connected up with people that know how to pray. If God has not moved on you to stand in the gap for somebody else in a long time, I guarantee you, you'll be moved upon for your own. Why wait until they need you? Pray ahead of time. Pray ahead of time. Where you know they're not thinking right, pray for them. That's the love of God at work in you. I got to quit here. But I'll tell you what. When I saw this, and look at, he goes down and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He's telling you, even after you pray, look for the answer to come. Because we know that when we operate in our salvation, we'll never be ashamed. I guarantee you, a friend of yours or a loved one or somebody, when you start praying for them, they're going to show you how rebellious they are. That's not a sign to quit. It's not a sign, well, not worrying. No, just say, oh, the devil's putting pressure on. Hallelujah. I know this is going to work out. Why? Because they're going the opposite that I'm praying. But it didn't make my prayer the opposite. I stick with it. Man, I'll chase them down and I'll beat the devil with a toothpick, man, if I have to. But my loved ones, my friends, they're not going to perish. Yeah, that's what the devil wants me to do. See what they're doing now? Look. Oh my gosh. It's over. It's finished. I don't find that in salvation. Father, I thank you. We went on a little long, but Father, it just in me, the love of God that you have for mankind. Father, if they're stunted by their ability, you can call on somebody else to help them. Father, I thank you for the ministry of intercession, being able to pray for them and pray for our loved ones, pray for our friends, have a future for them through the eyes of our salvation. Father, may everybody in this place fix it in their heart that they're going to educate themselves into the fullness of their so great a salvation. And everybody said, sure, come forward and get these communion elements, because we got to get down to some business with God here this morning. It's just like God came and kissed you on the cheek and then turned around and had me boot you in the butt. And this morning, when we're going to take communion, we're going to do in remembrance of Him. We're not going to be divided. We're not going to be torn apart. We're not going to be denominationalized. We are going to be the body of Christ, and we're going to take our position of salvation and make it work for us. Amen. Whew. You believe that, Lonnie? Yes. Amen. I'll tell you, one of the fruits of the Spirit that I've been working with is self-control. If you guys want a challenge, purpose to get control of yourself. 24/7. It's a job for 24/7. But it's time we stop the blame game and get into the love of God. Be a sacrifice for us. Not be always on the outside looking at what somebody else is doing wrong, but be on the inside and stand in. What better thing could you ask for? We're well educated. We're well educated for backbiting, for missing the mark, for gossip. We're seasoned at that. That baby can get out of control, but you got to get control back again. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You know, I don't know why I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it. Salvation is working in your home. Salvation is working there. Hallelujah. That's a word from God. Oh, okay. You know, huh? Okay, salvation is working. Okay, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Salvation is working in your home, your life. You made some commitments to God that He does not take lightly. Hallelujah. Because of your concentration. You've had it. You're finished with what the world has to offer. You're only interested in the kingdom of God. Watch out. Your life is going to turn around and you're going to be so amazed. So amazed at the goodness that God has ahead for you. So amazed at the people that are going to be in your life that's ahead of you. You're just going to be blessed. Hallelujah. That's a word from God for you. Do you receive that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. God, you got to realize what Victor, when he got up there and got bold with that love thing, I'm going to tell you, that love thing is what motivates God to give you your salvation. He's given it to you. He wants to back it. But it's your authority that calls for His backing. It's your authority. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. You told the Old Testament believer, you know, that he could activate his own salvation. He'd look at you like you're crazy. And believers are doing that today. Well, I hope God heard me. I hope God will answer that. I hope God. I got news for you. You trust in the gospel that you first heard. You trust in it. It'll work for you. You don't have to hope for it. You got it. Yeah. It's yours. Salvation. Now, let's bow our heads for a moment. And if the message meant anything to you at all, say, Lord, forgive me that I have not activated my salvation for others. Because, Father, I want results in my family. I want results in my friends. I want results in my enemies. I want to see the results of the kingdom of God working to its fullest in my life. Teach me the correct way to operate in my salvation that I have inherited from you. I'll never say I'll ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, but I will exercise my authority that you've already given me. It's in your hands. Salvation is in your hands. That's why I never could figure out why they told me that my soul was the only thing that was not saved. And it talks about getting your soul saved daily. It's because they got that being saved and salvation together as one. My soul has to be delivered daily because there's another part of my soul that speaks against the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah. My humanity has got to shut its big, fat mouth. So, Father, as we reverently bow our heads, if we've neglected our salvation, I want, Father, to look back in remembrance of what you've done for us so that we would not be a body divided or broken off. And so, Father, as I take this bread as a symbol of remaining intact, solid with the body of Christ, and in my place to activate my salvation. I will take this bread as a symbol of you wanting us to stay connected in one body. Go ahead and take it. And in the same night in which he was betrayed, the shedding of his blood was the antidote to which gives us the power to remain intact and undivided. And I thank you for your shed blood, Jesus, as a symbol of the power to make me a completed member of that one bread called the church, the body of Christ. Go ahead and drink. Hallelujah. Well, if you took communion, you're not mad at me. Did you guys have a good day yesterday? Nice sunny day? You know, tonight, are they going to hold service out in the... Are you going to hold it out there? Or do you want to do it in here, air conditioning? Or you want to keep it out there? Huh? Just stick with the program. Okay. Bring your fans. I'm not talking about friends. Literal fans. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. Did you get it all? Okay. Father, as we now close this service, if there's anyone that wants prayer for salvation, Father, we're going to believe that they're restored through that communion table. But if they haven't been filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, they need salvation. Father, we're here to pray for them. If they need physical healing, we want to agree with them. That belongs in our salvation. So with that said, if anyone needs prayer for physical healing, you need prayer for salvation, you need prayer for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, if you want to come out right now, anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for their patience and their kindness. We went on a little longer, but Father, when you show up, it's a good service to be in. And so, Father, may they be blessed as they go their way, and may they be fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.